Well, thank you all for coming today. As I was just mentioning, this is part of the Health Equity and Public Hospital Caucus at APHA, and there is one more session tomorrow. There were two sessions, one yesterday and another one this morning, and it's a growing caucus that hasn't been as active in previous years, and so that's one of the reasons I'm asking if you wouldn't mind just jotting your name down so that we can start growing the email list for the caucus. So what I'm going to do is speak briefly and introduce the two speakers that will be following. First, let me introduce myself. My name is Sari Siegel, and I'm the Health Delivery Systems Organization Practice Area Lead at IMPACT International, a government consulting firm. And I conduct research on a wide range of issues affecting hospitals and other care delivery sites. I'm the project director for several efforts, including the synthesis of ARC-funded HAI projects, which is one I didn't just mention. And also, we are doing an evaluation of the hospital or healthcare acquired infection national action plan. And prior to coming to ARC, I was the Assistant Vice President for Research at the National Association of Public Hospitals, and before that I worked as a service fellow for ARC, and I worked with Ernest Moy, who's one of the speakers that you'll be hearing from in a moment. So let me give you a little bit of background. Really, I'd like to sort of set the stage for the discussion to follow. I'm sure most people in the room are intimately aware of the definition. It's interesting, the definition and the title, even the acronym, has stayed the same, but it's evolved. It initially was hospital-acquired infection, and now it's healthcare-acquired infection, with the recognition that there's a lot more than just hospitals as delivery sites. But it's even morphing further a little bit into healthcare associated infection, which is a little bit more controversial. But it's a term that I'm hearing more and more that folks are a little bit more concerned about attributing causality. So let me tell you a little bit about the magnitude of this problem. Well, first of all, the definition. HAIs are infections acquired while patients receive treatment for another condition in a healthcare setting. And it's quite pervasive, expensive, deadly, and actually preventable. Roughly, CDC estimates that 1 in 20 hospital patients today has an HAI. It's expensive in terms of both money and loss of life. Hospital-acquired HAIs alone are responsible for between $28 and $33 billion in preventable healthcare expenditures every year, according to the Assistant Secretary for Health. For example, patients who developed sepsis after surgery stayed in the hospital 11 days longer and had accrued $33,000 more per person, and 20% of those patients died as a result of the infection. And patients who developed pneumonia after surgery stayed in the hospital an extra 14 days at a cost of $46,000 per person, and 11% of those individuals died of the infection. And so the thing that's such a problem looking at these numbers is that's really a moral dilemma is that it's really preventable. Research indicates, depending on which research study you look at, the range is 20% and up to 70% of HAIs are avoidable. So I want to tell you a little bit about some HAI activities that are out there. Federal government has been very involved in looking at issues. One is the National Action Plan that I just mentioned a moment ago. The National Action Plan is essentially a roadmap for HAI prevention in acute care hospitals. It began in 2009 and includes 5-year goals for 9 specific measures of improvement. The thing that's interesting about it, it's really an effort to consolidate all of the federal government activity around HAIs under this large umbrella, so it involves all of the different agencies. And that has given rise to a new program called Partnership for Patients. This is a collaborative program among hospitals and healthcare providers, and federal and state governments, and the goal is to seek reductions in HIIs by 40% and hospital readmissions by 20% by the end of 2013 compared to the 2010 levels. The campaign seeks to save 60,000 lives by stopping preventable instances of harm to patients, costing roughly $35 billion in healthcare costs. And what's interesting to me is neither the National Action Plan nor Partnership for Patients references in any way healthcare disparities. There's also quite a bit of work from foundations, RWJ, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, Aetna, Commonwealth, and others. And again, across the board, you're not seeing much work around disparities in HAI. It's almost as if the disparities community hasn't really embraced HAI as a research topic, and that the HAI community has not started looking at disparities. So I started asking around with both on the federal level and also with some foundations about why this might be. And I'm coming up with two predominant answers. The first is that it's very difficult to identify data sources, and it's very difficult to identify appropriate methodologies. So first, let me talk about the data sources. Racial and ethnic data does not either exist at all, or it is not collected methodically. It's not collected in a standardized way at the hospital level or at other healthcare delivery sites. I spoke to a couple of prominent hospital patient safety officers who say that the racial and ethnic data that they collect is still being collected the old-fashioned way, eyeballing, rather than through patient self-identification, which is really the evidence-supported way of collecting this data. And so subsequent concerns about the data quality has been a deterrent to extensive disparities research. Another concern is the difficulty in finding appropriate methodologies. Some researchers have suggested that, for example, ARCS PSIs, patient safety indicators, are such rare events that most hospitals won't have sufficient sample size to derive statistically valid comparisons between minorities and non-minorities. And they argue also that the interaction effects between race and age and education and socioeconomic status and other demographic factors are too complicated for the traditional linear regression analysis. One researcher, James Studnicki, at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and he's working with guidance from Peggy Honore at the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Health, are really researching this issue and are hoping to finish pulling together some research to be able to present in the spring and hopefully at Academy Health. So what I've talked about so far are really questions about what, about how bad and how pervasive HAI is and disparities in HAI. And a related question that I haven't mentioned at all is the discussion of where or what is the geographic distribution of HAI. Are there more or are there regions where it's more or less likely? And I think before we can answer these questions, and one of the reasons that there is so little work in it is that we really need to kind of circle back to the issue of finding appropriate data sources and finding appropriate methodologies. There are some promising examples, including CDC's National Healthcare Safety Network, or NHSN, which is a public health surveillance system that the CDC will use to estimate the burden of HAIs. But this work is quite new, and there has not been a lot of work in it as of yet. There's also the other looming question, aside from the how pervasive, the what question, and potentially also the why question, or the where question. The big obvious question is the why question. Why do these disparities exist? There has been a lot of research on the social determinants of health and other factors to attempt to explain disparities in general, but there's very, very limited work on why infection rates differ between the races. There are two prominent researchers, Dr. Zha at Harvard and Dr. Werner at UPenn, that have published studies suggesting minorities are more likely to seek care in hospitals that score lower on key quality indicators. And if that's true, it's certainly one possibility. But I know that data from at least one source, the hospital compare data for the National Association of Public Hospitals that they've pulled down of their members, which are large urban safety net hospitals, shows that those hospitals are actually outperforming the national averages on most quality measures. There's also speculation about whether minorities present with more advanced illness to a hospital, or if they have more comorbidities that may fight their ability to fight infection. And of course, this is a very big topic right now as health reform is being implemented. A study that was just published last month in Health Affairs, again by Dr. Jean and others at Harvard, warned of the implications of the health reform's new Medicare payment arrangements, the value-based purchasing arrangements, and the impact that might have on poorer and minority patients served at hospitals that score lower on quality measures. Under this new value-based purchasing system, the federal government will grant higher payments to higher quality hospitals, more efficient hospitals that meet specific quality metrics, and they'll cut payments to institutions that fail to meet or fail to improve. And so Dr. Jha and others suggest that funding mechanisms like this will actually worsen disparities over time. So with these value-based purchasing arrangements looming in the near future, it's really a very important time for us to start looking at the issue of healthcare disparities in HAI. And so with that, I'd like to turn it over to our two speakers, Dr. Moy and Dr. Silber, who will be both approaching this issue from different perspectives. Dr. Moy first will be speaking about the quantification question and what are the disparities, looking at evidence from the National Healthcare Disparities Report and looking at what disparities actually do exist. And then Dr. Silber will speak a little bit more to the why question and also the methodology question about how to measure and looking at disparities in operative time.